This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, it's October 12th, 2018. Where does the time go? And we're live today. So if you want to talk to me or my guests or join the conversation, you can call us at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. If you're not listening live, but you want to leave a question, a comment, tell me about a guest you'd love for me to have on the show, you can call our 24-hour voicemail line at 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. Let me tell you who I've got for you today. Dr. Holly Richmond is a somatic psychologist, certified sex therapist, and marriage and family therapist. A trusted authority on sexual health issues with a significant media following, she's appeared on national talk shows and is regularly quoted in publications including the New York Times, CNN, Newsweek, Forbes, NBC, and many more. Dr. Richmond works bi-coastally and sees patients in integrative healthcare settings in Los Angeles, Portland, Oregon, and the greater New York area. She also offers sexual health coaching nationally and internationally with treatment specialties including sexual dysfunction, compulsive sexuality, desire discrepancies in couples, recovery from sexual assault and abuse, and the healthy integration of non-traditional sexual expression for individuals and couples. She is also a sought-after consultant for the sex tech industry, where she's regarded as a pioneer in bridging the gap between sexual health education and entertainment. Her work through the Next Sex platform is an exploration of the context of emerging technology on sexuality and how to positively influence both sexual and technological development. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Dr. Richmond.
Oh, thank you so much, Tristan. I'm so excited to be here.
So it's been a pretty difficult few weeks for most of the people I know with the Kavanaugh hearings. And people have been talking about it a lot on social media. And I know one of your specialties is around healing from sexual assault and abuse. I wonder if you would share your thoughts about what this was like for maybe clients of yours and survivors of sexual assault, what it was like to go through, to hear Dr. Ford's testimony, to see Kavanaugh's testimony, and then to see him confirmed.
It doesn't even touch it. My clients, some that I haven't spoken to in over 6 or 7 years, started calling probably about 2 weeks ago now. Everyone was being triggered, like these cultural and social triggers. And for survivors, it's just, I think it was almost unbelievable. So that's the point we were at first. And then after last Saturday where he got confirmed, it's just, it's like, are you fucking kidding me? So here we are. I think it's so hard for survivors. So there's that first piece is, here's Dr. Ford. If she's not credible, if she's not a credible witness, if she's not believable, who is? So I really feel like that was a huge struggle. And then to see Kavanaugh, who in some ways almost feels like a caricature of the people we think about as abusers, or at least in positions where they can abuse power. It was just, again, unbelievable, hard to sit with.
how can we support survivors in this moment? Because I also feel like once this dies down, now we're on to like the next story, right? In the media cycle, but people are still experiencing the kind of reverberations from this.
Yeah, or vicarious trauma. So it's either bringing up things from their past that they thought they dealt with, have dealt with, or haven't, you know, felt yet, or are just, again, feeling that vicarious trauma for people that they may know. So what we can do to help is keep talking about it. And the only good piece of this is I almost feel like it was a carryover from the Me Too movement last year. Like, it's all, we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about not just believing survivors, but caring. Like, do we care enough to help take care of these people? And most of the time it's women, but I do too want to point out that it's men. And in my work over the last decade plus, I also see a lot of male survivors, and I don't want them to feel left out of this conversation. So we can keep talking about it. We can find ways to ground ourselves. We can be mindful about what we're saying out loud and also what we're saying to ourselves. So those are some of the ways. In my dissertation on the recovery of sexual health after sexual assault, I identified three primary factors that help in this, and that's control, connection, and pleasure. So really getting back to those three principles when we think about moving forward in our sexual lives and in our relational lives.
You know, a lot of work has been done around sexual assault survivors, and I've certainly heard about control and connection, but truthfully, when most people write about it, they don't talk about pleasure. They talk about dealing with the aftermath, but then most people don't sort of turn the page and say, okay, now how can I reclaim my sexuality, my pleasure, my desire, my sex life? So I'm really curious to hear about that piece of your work and why you think it's important.
Tristan, it's that piece has almost informed my last decade. So I chose to do my 3,000 internship hours at a rape crisis center, and I was taught very well how to treat trauma. What I wasn't taught how to treat was healthy sexuality, and especially survivors wanting to move forward with their own sexual health and relational sexual health. So that's what I wrote my dissertation about, and then that's why I decided to pursue the ASECT sex therapy certification. We have to talk about this pleasure piece. It's only a path, or, you know, it's different for every survivor, but it's only a piece of the puzzle to talk about connection and control and leave out pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, I think many people feel sort of lost because they don't want to give up their sex lives in order, you know, they feel a sense of healing, and they're on their own journey, whatever those healing modalities are, but then it feels like, okay, where do I go now? What are some of your tools and recommendations and strategies for people who want to reclaim their sexuality after some kind of sexual violence?
Yeah. So really, so let's just dial this in a little bit. So the control piece, it's really important for a survivor to feel in control, but if she's trying to control too much, then that gets away. It gets in the way of connection and pleasure, right? So that control piece is a really fine balance. And a lot of times with the survivors, you find control issues in a dysfunctional way around food, around exercise, around body image, and around substances. So again, the control is essential in communicating with a partner that you're with, and controlling the environment and just checking in with how you feel. And then the connection, that's really with yourself and with the other person. Am I grounded? Anxiety is really the antithesis to feeling pleasure, to feeling connection. So how can I stay in my body? If we're two in our body, sometimes we dissociate, but if we're two in our heads, that's all about anxiety, and anxiety and great sex certainly don't go together. So I talk a lot about grounding exercises. A really simple one that I talked about recently was identifying four things in the room or environment where you are that you can see. So looking around and saying, I see that picture on the wall. It's a man and a woman. It's a picture of a son. I see these blue curtains hanging by the window, two other things. Then I identifying three things that you can hear. I can hear a dog barking outside. I can hear children playing in the neighborhood. I can hear some music playing. And then two things that you can touch. So I'm touching this blanket. I'm touching this pen. And then one thing that you can smell. And that can be a little bit hard, but just really it makes you slow down and sit with yourself. Am I smelling the neighbor's barbecue? Do I smell the perfume I put on this morning? Do I smell the shampoo left over, that smell in my hair? Just to really get them in that moment. One of my favorite mantras is, that was then, this is now. And I have survivors repeat this all the time. That was then, this is now. Because if we look at that this is now piece, almost 100% of the time we are safe now. If we literally look around our environment, look at the lives we've created for ourselves today, we're safe. There's no perpetrator in the room. There's no one trying to harm us. We're safe. So just really solidifying that, that was then, this is now, I'm here in this present moment and I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, staying present, and also those are great mindful techniques just to also be aware, you know, to kind of remind yourself, like, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And it sort of grounds you, like you said, in just in sort of checking in with all these senses, right?
Exactly. What,
yeah. Okay, we got to take a commercial break. I don't know how that happened, but it did. Okay, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, more with Dr. Holly Richmond. So don't go anywhere. The Pleasure Chest has all the goods to get and keep you warm and fuzzy this fall. Fall in lust with some cozy cuffs, warming lube, or just up your cosplay with their large selection of lingerie and costumes, right in time for Halloween. Select styles of Halloween apparel, accessories, and lingerie are also 50 to 70% off through October. You're not going to get that deal at other places. And don't forget to get your ass to class for their free weekly workshop series in LA, New York, and Chicago. This month, they're featuring role play, cosplay, and costumery, the OMG spot, and creating meaningful dom-sub dynamics, a three-part series on creating consent-based erotic dynamics. All workshop attendees always receive 15% off their in-store purchases. Plus, bonus, have you heard of the new biofeedback vibrator, Lioness? Lioness has landed and will be presenting Artgasm, an interactive art show featuring orgasm patterns submitted by Lioness vibrator users. It's happening in all the Pleasure Chest locations. If you're not able to make it out to a store, you can always use the coupon code Tristan at checkout on pleasurechest.com for a free massage candle.
Hi, everyone. We're Emma and Finn, the hosts of the Normalizing Non-Monogamy podcast. Each Wednesday, we interview people from across the spectrum of non-monogamy to hear and learn from their stories.
So far, we've interviewed a wide variety of guests covering swinging, polyamory, kink, cuckolding, and much more.
Even with all of these guests, we know that there are so many different dynamics and stories to tell that we've only scratched the surface.
So we'd love to have you stop by and give Normalizing Non-Monogamy a listen, and maybe even share your story someday.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Have you gotten into virtual reality porn yet? I know lots of people who want to try it, but they just don't know where to go. Well, how about the site voted Best Virtual Reality Site 2018 at the AVN Awards? It's called Badoink VR, and it has the world's best virtual reality porn library with over 240 videos and two new releases added every week. You know I like you to ethically consume your porn, so pay for it and get the good stuff. Start streaming immediately with unlimited downloads compatible with all major VR devices. Oculus, Vive, Gear VR, PSVR, Daydream, and all smartphones. It's easy to use, compatible with all VR headsets, and all subscribers receive free VR goggles when you sign up. Come on, that sounds great. Go to badoinkvr.com, badoinkvr.com/Tristan, and you'll get your first month for just $9.95. You definitely want to check it out.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I've been telling you about it for months, and it's now right around the corner, and I cannot wait. November 3rd to the 10th, Swing Set Takes Desire, which is this takeover of Desire Resort in Cancun, Mexico, by one of the my favorite groups of sex-positive people. They put on a really inclusive, consent-driven, body-positive, queer positive event. There are people there who identify as swingers, as polyamorous, as sex positive, as just curious about all these things. I'm returning again as a special guest, which means I'm going to be teaching classes, I'm going to be out and about, and I'm also going to be a service top on BDSM night in the dungeon, which is exciting. But mostly, it's such a good time, and it's such a welcoming, amazing environment. They told me today there are like a handful of spots left, which is amazing because it sold out very quickly last year. So if you're interested in being spontaneous, because it's pretty spontaneous at this point, and running off to Cancun, you should go to ssdesire.com and check it out and reserve your spot. And I hope I see you there. Also, I'm going to be doing a live podcast event while I'm there. So like last year, I'm going to podcast Sex Out Loud from Cancun, and I'm going to be interviewed on the newish podcast, Normalizing Non-Monogamy. They've joined as a sponsor of my show. I'm so happy. It's a really fantastic podcast. If you're interested in non-monogamy and polyamory and swinging and all of those things, this is a great, great conversation. So you definitely want to download it and check it out. If you like Life on the Swing Set and you like Sex Out Loud, you'll like Normalizing Non-Monogamy, basically. Okay, so let's get back to our guest, Dr. Holly Richmond. We were talking before the break, Dr. Richmond, about different ways that survivors can sort of ground themselves and be in their bodies. And you talked about control, you talked about connection, and then I wanted to hear about this pleasure piece.
Yeah, the pleasure piece is critical. And like you were saying before, it's often the piece that is missed. So, I mean, if I could have a wish, it would be that every rape crisis center really starts some training and education around this, because we can't have good sex without pleasure. And Tristan, I'm such a, like, you know, it's, I feel like it should be written on my forehead. Follower of the sex positive movement, like you are. All sex is good sex as long as it's consensual and pleasurable. So I feel like for survivors, a lot of times they've lost touch with that piece, A, because trauma overrides pleasure. So if we haven't dealt with the trauma, if we're still in that state, we literally can't feel what's happening in our bodies. So we'll dissociate. Often I hear survivors talk about, like, I almost levitated above my body. I could see from an outsider perspective what was happening, but I couldn't move. So it's all about getting back into our body, feeling pleasure in a way that we can communicate with our partner, tell them what we want, but from a non-shame-based place. So pleasure and shame have no place together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, shame is like the killer of pleasure.
Right. And so many survivors carry that around with them because there is always this, well, not always, almost always, this idea of somehow I was complicit. I drank too much. I smoked too much. I had this skirt on. I was in a place I shouldn't have been. And you'll hear me say time and time again, the only reason you were raped is because there was a rapist in the room. The only reason you were raped was because there was a rapist in the room. Most men are protectors. Most people are protectors, even for men that get sexually abused or sexually assaulted. Most people have the instinct to protect, and there's no amount of complicity that can ever undo that fact. So again, it's reducing that shame, getting survivors back in touch with their body, knowing that it's okay to be in their body, and relearn pleasure. So pleasure might be different after a sexual assault, so we have to be open to that, accepting of that. So just start with the basics, and that can be touch, non-genital touch. and then moving to genital touch, and then perhaps oral sex, and then penetration, or whatever sex is, however that's defined to that person.
And do you recommend that someone disclose to a partner, like before they even have sex for the first time, that they're a survivor?
I think that depends on where you are in the healing process and what kind of relationship you have with your partner. If you are just hooking up for a one-night stand and you're super clear on that that's what you want, and you're feeling grounded and you're feeling good and you're feeling like you can touch pleasure, I don't think it's necessary. In long-term relationships, I usually advise some disclosure just because it helps the partner understand them better. And there always may be some ways the survivor does not like to be touched or some words that they don't like to hear.
Right. Now, you're a somatic psychologist, and I don't even know entirely what that is. So I want you to tell me what is somatic psychology, and how does it differ from a traditional psychologist?
So it means I pay equal attention to the mind and the body. Most psychologists put more importance on the mind. So figuring out what you're thinking, figuring out what you're feeling. Of course, yes, I'm trying to figure out what you're feeling, but it's with body-based states. And I really look at it from a psychophysiological perspective. So I really use the body. So I'm using body language, things like polyvagal theory, a very nervous system based, looking at the nervous system and how it informs how we move through the world. Is anxiety the reason why we're drinking too much? Is anxiety the reason why we can't connect with our partner? Is anxiety the reason why we feel like we have compulsivity around masturbation? All of these things are nervous system based. So I like to look at that. I'm going to refer to an MD almost always to make sure there's not an organic piece to this, that it's more psychogenic. So like if someone comes up in with erectile dysfunction, pain during sex, I feel like they usually go one of two ways, like, oh my God, something's horribly wrong with me, or shit, this is all in my head. And why am I so fucked up?
Wow. And so my other question is sort of, how does this manifest in your practice? Because I think one of the things that's like 100% clear about therapists is you're not allowed to touch your clients and not even hug them, right? Is that like, that's a kind of standard procedure?
It is. That's absolutely true.
How do you incorporate the body when you're not touching them?
Yeah. So we're constantly checking in. So how are you feeling now? Where are you feeling that? We may do some breathing exercises. We may do some guided meditation. But for me, it's more reading their body language, using the body as a medium. So they might do art therapy. They might do narrative therapy where I'm asking them to express what they're feeling internally. A lot of my clients have pain disorders or chronic pain. So they're coming in with that. Like their body is speaking to them, actually screaming to them, like, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. But the signals are getting crossed. So my job is to disentangle those signals and then help them to understand it. So a lot of times I go to the body first, try to understand what the body is saying. And then we look at the emotional etiology, pull that apart and help them feel integrated.
And what is it like to do therapy not in the same room as someone? Because I know you do teletherapy, and I feel like the sort of future of, well, of healthcare on all levels is probably telemedicine and telehealthcare. What is that like?
I couldn't agree with you more. And it is so, I'm very much pushing the virtual barriers here of doing somatic sex therapy online, but I couldn't agree with you more. And I know we're going to talk about it a little later, but I have this huge interest in sex tech and technology. And yes, it is the future. So I have a lot of therapists say to me, oh, therapy is like the last bastion. It's like when two people get together and sit in a quiet room and can really connect. I appreciate that, but I don't think it's that viable going forward. I get to reach so many more people because I can talk to people all over the world if I'm doing coaching and do therapy in those states where I'm licensed. Would I rather have someone see an okay therapist who's not sex positive with their kinks in person, or whether would I rather have them see a really great therapist who is sex positive virtually? I'm going to go for the latter.
Right. Yeah, it's so important. I mean, and so many people, I mean, this is like one of the number one questions I get asked is like, how do I find a sex positive therapist? It's not like they're like all running around, especially if you don't live in a major city.
Exactly. And it's scary. I can't tell you how many clients have walked in and said, I went to see this therapist and she told me I was a sex addict and I need to go to rehab. And it hasn't even been close to the case. We won't get into that, but you know where I'm going with that. They're categorically not a sex addict. And yeah.
Well, and I think the pathologizing of sex is all around us. Mm-hmm. In other words, like there is shame and guilt and anxiety and all these ideas about what normal sex is and isn't. And so then go into a space where you're really vulnerable and you're sharing this stuff with a therapist and then have them sort of just chime in with more pathology. It's really invalidating.
It is. It just breaks my heart. Like it just breaks my heart, infuriates me on a lot of levels. So yes, I'd like to get more people on, more sex positive therapists and coaches online so we can keep spreading that message and depathologize sexuality and all the ways people are using their sexual selves.
Well, I want to talk about this technology piece, but we got to take another commercial break.
Okay.
So everyone, let me tell you what's going on at the Pleasure Chest this week, because, you know, the Pleasure Chest, first of all, they're having a huge sale on Halloween costumes. And, you know, if anyone has good Halloween costumes, it's the fucking Pleasure Chest. So they're having a really big sale and you should check that out online and in stores. In terms of their free sex ed classes coming up this week in Los Angeles, October 17th, Suck It, Lick It, Love It. In New York City, October 17th, The Ultimate O, Expanding Your Orgasm. October 19th, The Sex and the City Awkward Comedy Show. And then in Chicago, October 17th, Squirt Shop. So to find out about these events and more, do a little shopping for Halloween or otherwise, you can go to pleasurechest.com. They are one of my sponsors and have been for a long time, and we love them very much. So show them some love back. We're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, more with Dr. Holly Richmond. Don't go anywhere.
Life on the Swing Set is heading to paradise for the seventh time, and once again, we're taking over Desire Resort Riviera Maya in Cancun, Mexico.
With this year's hosts, me, Cooper, Ginger, Dylan, JV and Chara from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, and author, podcaster, and feminist porn filmmaker Tristan Taramino, our takeover allows us to mold the resort in our geeky, sexy, and inclusive image with orgies, classes about pegging, flogging, and fisting, theme nights, a full dungeon night, naked karaoke, mutual masturbation, and massages.
From November 3rd through the 10th, 2018, this beautiful all-inclusive resort will be full of sexy swing setters from every letter in the LGBTQA spectrum. Poly, swingers, nudists, kinksters, doms, subs, and those who are just curious about what a week at a sexy resort offers.
We take all the best of the swing set. Our values, our experience, our co-hosts, our community, and we bring it all together with the best resort staff on earth to create a queer, kink, and poly-friendly, consent-aware, and sexy-as-hell experience for everyone who joins us.
To come with us on our Swing Set Takes Desire 2018 trip and hear us podcast about our previous trips, head over to ssdesire.com. We'll be there to welcome you home.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Have you gotten into virtual reality porn yet? I know lots of people who want to try it, but they just don't know where to go. Well, how about the site voted Best Virtual Reality Site 2018 at the AVN Awards? It's called Badoink VR, and it has the world's best virtual reality porn library with over 240 videos and two new releases added every week. You know I like you to ethically consume your porn, so pay for it and get the good stuff. Start streaming immediately with unlimited downloads compatible with all major VR devices. Oculus, Vive, Gear VR, PSVR, Daydream, and all smartphones. It's easy to use, compatible with all VR headsets, and all subscribers receive free VR goggles when you sign up. Come on, that sounds great. go to badoinkvr.com, BADOINKVR.com/Tristan, and you'll get your first month for just $9.95. You definitely want to check it out.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, you know what I'm going to miss most when I go to Cancun? Well, of course, my dogs, who are super cute. And if you want to see my dogs, you can follow me on Instagram. But I'm going to miss my bidet because, you know, I love bidets. And I got this new one from Tushy and I'm obsessed. Tushy makes not only great bidets, but they're accessible and affordable. I mean, they start at $69, which is like, you know, wink, wink. This is a bidet that doesn't require a plumber to come over. You can literally set it up by following this video and it takes about 10 minutes. And then you can just wash your butt clean every time you go to the bathroom. I absolutely love it and wish I could take it with me. So the two things I'm going to miss, my dogs and my bidet, but you should get a bidet. That's what you should do. Go to HelloTushy.com. You can get 10% off your order with the promo code SEXOUTLOUD, all one word, SEXOUTLOUD. Stop wiping and start washing today with Tushy. Okay, we're back with Dr. Holly Richmond. And I want to hear about, well, you said you have an obsession with technology. You know, I think people have done a lot of talking about sex and technology. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it changing the way we have sex? Is it changing the way we date and mate and form relationships? So I'm curious to hear, as a therapist, what role you see technology playing in our sex lives.
I really see it as a new way to connect. Am I saying it's better than connecting in person? No, but just like you and I were talking before, there are some people who don't have access to therapists where they live, and there are some people who aren't that comfortable connecting with people in person or live somewhere where they're not with like-minded people. So we need to learn to use technology to our advantage to help people connect, both relationally and sexually.
And so are you of the mind that like this is also the future, that this is the way we're going to meet people that we have sex with, people that we might be in committed relationships with, that this is ultimately like the main way that we're going to kind of find each other?
I do. I absolutely believe that. And I feel like for the most part, it's already happening. But so when I set out to write this book, there was a lot I didn't know yet and am learning, but millennials are having less sex than any generation in recorded history. And it can't be a coincidence that millennials are also digital natives, right? Mm-hmm. So these are people who use technology, and they're using it in a different way to have sex. So I think our definition of sex is changing because of technology, and I think that's a good thing. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing that they're having less sex. I think they're a discerning bunch and they're actually having better sex.
Ooh, you heard it here first, folks. I haven't read a think piece that says that because mostly, you know, people like to pile on the millennials. So what is this next sex platform? Tell me about that.
Yeah. So this, okay, so a little over 2 years ago, I watched just a news program, probably 7 minutes on virtual reality, and I had a very somatic reaction. I got excited. I literally said out loud, this is going to change everything for sex. And I'm not a techie, but this was really exciting to me. And it took me a few days to figure out why it was so exciting. It's because it's somatic technology. So virtual reality, augmented reality, teledildonics, sex bots, all of these things are somatic. They're taking us from a place where we're watching our screens, taking us from a place where we're viewing to a place where we're experiencing. In VR, you feel like you're really there. With teledildonics, you're touching your partner across the world. And with sex bots, you're communicating with and having sex with something, an image, a likeness that feels virtually real.
And so as a coincidence, and it is a coincidence, and I didn't know this, you've actually worked with our new advertiser, Bedoink VR. This is a big piece of the adult industry pie right now is virtual reality porn. Mm-hmm. People are putting a lot of money into it and a lot of research into it. So what did you do with Bedoink?
Oh my gosh, that was phenomenal. So when I got so excited about this, so Tristan and I was a journalist for 15 years before I went back to graduate school and became a psychologist. So all of my journalist juices kicked in and I started calling the biggest names in VR and Bedoink was it. They were just doing some really incredible things at the time. They were the first ones to combine sex education therapy with adult entertainment. And they worked with Hernando Chavez to create Virtual Sexology 1, and that was really geared towards men. And then they hired me to write the script for Virtual Sexology 2, which was all about what women want. So it was incredible. I got to write three different scenes of a script that blended sex education and VR adult entertainment and make this fantastic, really cutting-edge piece.
Okay, so what is it like? What is it like to experience it, this sexology?
Yeah, it's... So I talked about self-pleasure, I talked about female-female relationships and male-female relationships and how we cultivate arousal and desire. But to watch it, so you need some VR goggles and you need to download an app and you put them on and you will feel like you're in the female actress's body. So the cameras are literally on her head, so you feel like you're in her body. So it's called female POV.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're embodying her. You have the sense that you're doing what she's doing. And it's super powerful. One of the first films I watched in VR, probably 30 seconds in, one of the actresses leaned in to kiss me. And I literally took a step back. Like, that's how real it felt to me. I was like, hold on a sec. I'm just not quite ready. And I'm not super shy, but I wasn't ready to kiss her yet. That's how real it felt. And that's when I knew we had something. So it's this visceral sense. We're not watching, but we're experiencing. And my mind is blown when I think about how powerful that will be for my clients in helping to teach them. So I think our learning curve is just going to be greatly diminished with all these immersive technologies that are literally at our fingertips.
Wow, that does sound really intense. Mm-hmm. Well, and it seems to me people could then, like, quote unquote, try things out that in a really safe environment because you're not involving other people.
Exactly. So they talk about people switching genders, transsexuals who think that they want to transition, having sex that way in VR, so they have more of a felt sense of it. So things you hear me talking about in my somatic practice, which are felt sense, embodiment, empowerment, all of those translate to these immersive technologies. And I think the key piece with it is empathy. And we get that because we have the eye contact in VR. When we're watching a 2D screen, we can kind of feel like the other person is looking at us. In VR, I mean, you are making eye contact. It feels empathetic. It feels intimate. All of those things that I think are key, especially when we're trying to gain competency and mastery in our sexual selves.
Okay, this is really interesting. I don't think you hear the words empathy and technology used together very often.
You don't.
So I want you to tease that out. I need to hear more about empathy, why it's important, and also how you could possibly achieve it if you're not in the same room with someone.
Yeah, so I think empathy is also a critical piece to good sex. Even if it's just a quickie, I think being able to be tuned in enough to our partner to say, oh, they might like this, they might not like this, I could feel what they feel, I'm not going to do this because I don't think that they would like it. So that empathetic piece, it's not that I feel, so sympathy is I feel bad for you, empathy is I feel what you feel. So with this immersive technology, we really, again, we have the eye contact because of the POV, so that's there. With teledildonics, we're feeling. Again, there's that felt sense. So I have my sleeve in Brooklyn, you have your vibrator in LA, and we're controlling each other's pleasure. So it is feeling. We're not just watching. We're not just talking about it. We're feeling it.
That is fascinating. But how would you integrate this into your practice, even when you, because wouldn't everyone have to have some kind of VR technology?
They do. And luckily, there are some really cheap options like Google Cardboard and some other cheap goggles. So I am using it now. I've prescribed virtual sexology both for men and women. I send a lot of my clients to VR porn just again to get that. A lot of times it's with kinks and what they think they want to experiment, but they don't, they're not sure yet and don't have a partner that's into it. So I'll use it that way. It's not prohibitively expensive anymore. And with my long distance couples, for sure, I'm prescribing teledildonics all the time.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the typical prescription.
No.
Like, hey, go watch some porn. Well, and I think especially in the field of therapy, there's a lot of stigma around porn, and I don't know a lot of therapists who say, hey, go watch porn or go be a part of something sexually explicit as a recommendation.
I definitely do. And I know some other sex therapists that do too, but I'm always very careful about what my client likes. So is it important for her that it's ethical porn? You know about this. So I can send her to sites that will really, you know, facilitate that. Does she just want a million choices on a site that's not going to give her computer a virus? And I'll send her to Pornhub or YouPorn. If she wants virtual sexology, Bedoink or other VR companies like Naughty America, really the leaders in this industry. So I do. I recommend porn a lot. Porn's not the problem. It's how we use it.
Mm. Amen, sister. Okay, yeah. Let's take another break, final break. I want to tell you listeners, because I haven't told you in a while, about my sex educator boot camp. Level 1 and level 2 is available online now. So if you're passionate about sex education and you want to build a career in the field, or maybe you've already begun your journey as a sex educator and you're ready to get serious, streamline your business, and get paid for what you love doing. These two courses are fantastic. They will give you everything you need to know before you begin a career or to enhance what you've got going on already. You can go to sexeducatorbootcamp.com to find out all about it. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, more with Dr. Holly Richmond. Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Have you gotten into virtual reality porn yet? I know lots of people who want to try it, but they just don't know where to go. Well, how about the site voted Best Virtual Reality Site 2018 at the AVN Awards? It's called Bedoink VR, and it has the world's best virtual reality porn library with over 240 videos and 2 new releases added every week. You know I like you to ethically consume your porn, so pay for it and get the good stuff. Start streaming immediately with unlimited downloads compatible with all major VR devices, Oculus, Vive, Gear VR, PSVR, Daydream, and all smartphones. It's easy to use, compatible with all VR headsets, and all subscribers receive free VR goggles when you sign up. Come on, that sounds great. Go to bedoinkvr.com, bedoinkvr.com/Tristan, and you'll get your first month for just $9.95. You definitely want to check it out. The Pleasure Chest has all the goods to get and keep you warm and fuzzy this fall. Fall in lust with some cozy cuffs, warming lube, or just up your cosplay with their large selection of lingerie and costumes, right in time for Halloween. Select styles of Halloween apparel, accessories, and lingerie are also 50 to 70% off through October. You're not going to get that deal at other places. And don't forget to get your ass to class for their free weekly workshop series in LA, New York, and Chicago. This month, they're featuring role play, cosplay, and costumery, the OMG spot, and creating meaningful dom-sub dynamics, a 3-part series on creating consent-based erotic dynamics. All workshop attendees always receive 15% off their in-store purchases. Plus, bonus, have you heard of the new biofeedback vibrator, Lioness? Lioness has landed and will be presenting Artgasm, an interactive art show featuring orgasm patterns submitted by Lioness vibrator users. It's happening in all the Pleasure Chest locations. If you're not able to make it out to a store, you can always use the coupon code Tristan at checkout on pleasurechest.com for a free massage candle.
Hi, everyone. We're Emma and Finn, the hosts of the Normalizing Non-Monogamy podcast. Each Wednesday, we interview people from across the spectrum of non-monogamy to hear and learn from their stories.
So far, we've interviewed a wide variety of guests covering swinging, polyamory, kink, cuckolding, and much more.
Even with all of these guests, we know that there are so many different dynamics and stories to tell that we've only scratched the surface.
So we'd love to have you stop by and give Normalizing Non-Monogamy a listen, and maybe even share your story someday.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm chatting today with Dr. Holly Richmond. And before the break, we were talking about sex tech, which actually she is writing a new book about. It's not out yet. I'll have to have her back on the show when the book comes out. But I'm curious if you want to make some predictions about things that are in development now that we don't necessarily, that aren't like widely available, but that you think, you know, 10 years from now will be, everyone will have it.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, let me start there. So I think that the pieces that are in development now, so VR, you know, we're hearing a lot more about VR. There's billboards all over New York, all over LA. I love VR and I'm not convinced it is going to be the next big thing. I almost think augmented reality is what we may need to keep our eyes on. So do you guys remember, was it 2 or 3 years ago now, Pokemon Go?
Yes.
That whole craze. So augmented reality is where we're augmenting virtual pieces, fantasy pieces onto our real environment, where virtual realities, you're completely immersed in your virtual environment, your fantasy environment, to be climbing a mountain or having sex with a porn star. But I think the augmented has more applications, more real world applications, and you don't need to have these huge goggles on. So I think, you know, restaurant menus will start popping off of our screens. We're going to be wearing our technology rather than holding things. I think most people will have sex for the first time virtually just because virtual sex is going to get so good. So now rather than having that awkward date for sex that a lot of people have, you can have sex virtually first. And I mean, to every extent possible, feel each other and communicate from there, decide from there if it's worth going on to the next step.
Oh my God, this is fascinating. People's first sexual experience will be virtual. Wow. I mean, I can't see that day, but I trust that it's probably coming. Wow.
But we couldn't see online dating being the most prominent way people connect 10 years ago. We wouldn't have believed that either. It was kind of weird. Like only strange people did that, right?
That's true. And now I know people who've like found their spouse.
Yeah.
I mean, basically everyone I know does online dating or hookup apps.
Yep. Absolutely. I think hookup apps will become more virtual. So there will be more of that. Again, that sense of real communication, empathy. It's so easy to ghost people in 2D. That's going to be much harder when we're using these 3D immersive technology pieces.
Oh, so you could sort of meet someone in a virtual reality space before you meet them at, say, like a coffee shop.
Exactly.
And decide, is this person for me?
Yeah. And I just want to say technology is not going to replace human connection. That is not my point. That's not my goal at all. I still want people to meet in person. You can't smell someone. You can't read their body language. You can't truly know how they have sex until you do it IRL. So all of those things are important. I just want people like Digisex Worlds to feel like that they have a voice in our sexual communities as well. If you only want to hook up via technology, that's great, right? It falls in under our sex positive umbrella.
Well, I also want to say another application for this is we're all living a lot longer than we used to, mm-hmm. maybe even too long, but that's another conversation. And so at some point, our bodies aren't going to be able to do everything they can do now. But we still have desire, right? And we still have fantasies and we still have pleasure. So I like the idea of, you know, being 90 years old. And if my body's 90 years old, it's not going to work in the same way it does now. But being able to have augmented reality or virtual reality and experience those sexual things in a different body.
Absolutely. Isn't that, I mean, it's just incredible. So people with different abilities as well, this is key for them. And you were asking before how I use it. So, and the fact that I can't touch because I'm a licensed psychologist. So before I would have to refer to surrogate partner therapists or sexological body workers to do the touching for me. Mm-hmm. Now with immersive technology, I'm certainly not replacing any of those great people, but there's not enough of them either. There's really not enough of them. So this is just another option. And again, my goal is to diminish this learning curve so that people feel competent, they feel like they have mastery, sexual agency, all of these things that are absolutely critical to having great sex.
Well, and that's part of the puzzle, right? Is that people, mm-hmm. sometimes there's just a big education piece that people don't know what can bring them pleasure. People have never been given the whole menu. People have never explored their bodies extensively, their own bodies.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that just gives them the freedom to do that in a more holistic, embodied way. Again, because they're not just watching, but there's that felt sense, that embodied self. And I think embodiment leads to empowerment.
I really want this to be affordable to people, though. I feel like disabled people and older people, it's not like that's a market that people are going after. So somehow, like other technology, it has to get like less expensive and less expensive and less expensive so that it's more widely used and available and not just sort of to the ruling class at Google in the San Francisco Bay Area. I like to call them the ruling class.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they have tons of disposable income and a lot of technology. So that's my fear with technology, is that only certain people are going to be able to access it, and the people who could benefit from it most won't.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But we're already seeing the price come down. But there's other things too. Weight, mobility, latency, all of these things are getting better. It's just, so we've only had our smartphones for 11 years now. So look at your first smartphone to where you are now. So I promise it's the technology, all of those, that price point, it's catching up. But again, will it be VR? Will it be AR? What's going to happen with teledildonics? I mean, there's so much to come. And I'm just really interested in helping people use it in a way that facilitates their healthy sexuality. So of course you can go online and read about all of these great new technologies, but I'm really trying to create a roadmap here for how people can use them, you know, giving case studies, talking about how I work with clients and sex bots. I think we're going to see so much more of this in the future.
Yeah, you kind of are the future sex robot therapist. Not that you're a robot, but you know what I mean?
Yes, definitely.
Using all these new technologies in a way that's helping people, right? And that they may, and that they need help figuring out how to use them, right? We can't do this stuff on our own. Well, speaking of online, I want people to know they can go to your website, drhollyrichmond.com, and they can also go to next-sex.com. You are Dr. Holly Richmond on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And I just really appreciate you being on the show. This is a great conversation.
Oh, I loved being here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. I also want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, A-Rod, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. My guest next week live will be author and activist Soraya Kamali. She's the author of the new book, Rage Becomes Her, The Power of Women's Anger. it's right on time. What can I say? Some people can predict the future, and her book coming out at this time certainly feels like a beacon for those of us who have some rage and don't know what to do with it. So I really look forward to that conversation. Until then, you can find me on social media at Tristan Taramino on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also find the show, Sex Out Loud Radio, on Twitter, and you can ask us questions and leave comments on our Twitter, and sometimes we read them on the air. And until next time, everyone, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.